You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we are doing a segment right now. We recur occasionally. It's a recurring segment we call Home Fries. Boomer, you got any sound effects for me? I think we need to cook some up real quick. Just cooking up some home fries right now as we look at things that are happening around our own backyard, things that are happening right here in Alabama. One of those things that is happening in Alabama is the fact that we just had a ruling come out of our state Supreme Court that has caught a lot of people off guard, especially the business community and the medical community. Because for years, Alabama was known as tort hell. It was. It was the place where anybody could get sued for anything. And the trial lawyers had the sway of things. And I'm an attorney, but I would not consider myself litigious. I recognize there are times and places when the better part of valor is not to sue. But I will say this. The ruling that just came out has caught some people in an awkward position of having to really deal with whether we have returned to the days of tort hell. Somebody who can give us some enlightenment on this is a friend of mine, Brian Taylor. Brian has formerly served in two gubernatorial administrations, Governor Riley and Governor Ivey. He is also back in private practice now after having spent some time in the Alabama State Senate, same time that I did. And he's on the air right now as a candidate now for Supreme Court Chief Justice. Brian Taylor, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Phil. Good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, listen, you were the one that brought it to my attention about this ruling that came out, just about a week ago. Talk to me about what happened and where this goes.
Yeah, so it was a medical malpractice case that arose down in Mobile with the Spring Hill Hospital. And it's really terrible facts. I mean, somebody screwed up really bad. A gentleman went in, he was a carpenter, and he accidentally sawed the top of his thumb off, and he went in to go get it fixed up. They fixed it up, and he was in the hospital for a couple of days, and they gave him some pain medication. But unfortunately, very unfortunately, the doctor or the hospital or the nurse, somebody was responsible for giving him too much of the pain medication, way too much. And he passed away. He stopped breathing and because of the pain medication, lost his life. So it's a terrible set of facts, terrible circumstances, and that was what the case was about. That case, the jury went to the jury. The jury returned a verdict. The trial judge reduced that verdict to $10 million, and then the case was appealed up to the Alabama Supreme Court. And the Alabama Supreme Court affirmed the trial judge's decision below to award $10 million in punitive damages. So the crazy thing about this decision is not the question of liability. Clearly, there was malpractice here, and clearly that family needed to be made whole for the loss of their loved one. But in this particular case, the issue was the amount of punitive damages. That's damages just to punish the hospital or the doctor. It was the highest, Phil, it was the highest punitive damages case ruling in a wrongful death medical malpractice case in the history of Alabama.
Wow.
And, the court reached this decision affirming that verdict over and above the dissents of the three most conservative justices on the Supreme Court, Justice Cook, Justice Mitchell, and Justice Sellers, all wrote very strongly worded dissents about how this case was so far out of the norm. And it's really got the business community, like you said, and the medical community just really talking about whether we're headed back down the road to tort hell, which is where we came out of many years ago when we elected Republicans to the court. And many of your listeners may not understand what we mean by tort. A tort is any lawsuit, as you know, Phil, any lawsuit based on a personal injury, medical malpractice, product liability, anything that's not a contract,
right,
basically is a tort. And so years ago, we had tort reform in this state because we were in tort hell, meaning these crazy awards, these crazy punitive damages awards that were going mostly to line the pockets of the plaintiff's trial lawyers. And a lot of people are asking now, are we headed back that direction?
So what's your thought right now? I mean, I look at it and, you know, I'm an attorney too. Personal injury is not my thing. I don't do the big plaintiff's personal injury cases, although I've had plaintiff's cases. But the reality is Alabama had a horrible reputation. That tort hell moniker, that came from, I think, what the Wall Street Journal labeled us that at one point, right? It impedes, yeah. When you are known as a litigious state, a state where you can lose and lose big, then it impedes economic development. Businesses have to decide whether they want to expand or even come here in the first place. It impedes the ability for communities to do more in terms of public service. It really does a whole lot to damage the state if that is the reputation. Am I correct?
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, a decision like this, you know, with punitive damages awards this high, as Justice Cook noted in his dissent, this award represented a 150% increase in just 2 years.
Wow.
A 150% increase in the floor that the Supreme Court would allow for punitive damages. And so what happens is a number of different policy effects. You're absolutely right. It discourages other businesses that we're trying to recruit to bring jobs to Alabama. It discourages them from coming here if they're worried about crazy lawsuits with high damages. A lawsuit like this in the healthcare context, of course, if this keeps happening, it raises the cost of healthcare for everybody because your insurance costs go up, and that gets passed on to the consumer. So our health insurance rates go up, our premiums go up, our deductibles go up, our co-pays go up in Alabama simply because the courts are not applying the law as written, the law of punitive damages. And that's what Justice Cook's dissent really hit home about was not whether there was a question of liability. Again, all of the justices agreed that the hospital was liable. But Justice Cook points out that we have constitutional guideposts that the U.S. Supreme Court has given us for making sure that a punitive damages award is reasonable.
Yeah.
That we have stability and predictability in the courts, and that we have consistency from one court to another, so that a court in Mobile isn't awarding one amount of punitive damages for a similar case that a court up in North Alabama is awarding a completely different amount of punitive damages. So for those reasons, we have these constitutional guideposts.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, I agree with the three justices in their dissents. I think that the court did not adhere to the rule of law, did not adhere to the Constitution, and allowed the facts in this case to sort of drive the decision. And as Chief Justice, I'm not going to do that. As Chief Justice, I'm going to apply the law. I'm going to uphold the Constitution, even when it's hard, even in the hard cases, because it's that important for the justice system as a whole, across all the courts, for us to have that consistency.
No, and I totally agree. I think there's a good point there for clarification, is that you and I, both with legal experience, are not saying that punitive damages should never be awarded. We're not saying that at all. There are times when the negligent party, the defendant in the case, may need to be punished, for lack of a better term, by the court for their egregious behavior. But the question then becomes, what is reasonable in scope? And you're right. If it's the Wild West, if there's just anything goes, then there's also the expectation that it could get bigger and bigger and get so out of control that we descend into a place where people don't know what to expect from the courts anymore. That being said,
that's right.
You named names, so I got to ask you. You are running for the Chief Justice position on the Alabama Supreme Court. You've got what? How long you're practicing? About what? 20 years? How long you've been in practice now?
22 years this year.
All right, 22 years. Our Army JAG officer, service in Iraq, time in the state Senate, legally advised two governors. So you're headed to the possibility of the Supreme Court, but your opponent in this race is actually on the court now. And if I heard you correctly, you're telling me that she actually approved that award you just said was not a good idea.
Yeah, she voted with the majority to affirm this historic punitive damages award. It's not unique. She's got a history of awarding high damages in cases, and that's why, you know, that's why she gets support from the Trial Lawyers Association. Lots of support. Over $1 million in 2018 for her election. So that's the reason I jumped into this race was, you know, she announced back in, I think it was January, that she was going to run for Chief Justice. Now, this is an open seat. Justice Parker, who's currently serving in this position, cannot run again because of his age under state law. Judges have to be 70 years or younger. So this is Justice Parker's last term. And Justice Stewart, Sarah Stewart, is the only one that had announced that she was going to be running for this position. And it looked like no one was going to oppose her. So I finally, in June, decided that conservatives need an alternative, need a choice on this ballot. I think the race is likely to be decided in the Republican primary. I don't think there's going to be a Democrat. I could be wrong, but I don't think a Democrat's going to run because all of the money that usually supports Democrats is going to be spent in this primary against me. I'm not going to have the support of the Trial Lawyers Association. I'm not going to have the support of crossover Democrats. I'm looking for the support of conservative Republicans in this state who want to elect judges who are absolutely committed to applying the rule of law and upholding the Constitution even when the facts are hard. And that's exactly what we needed in this case, and it's what we need from our next Chief Justice.
All right, man. Well, listen, that's a great segue to wrap our time together. I appreciate you calling in and giving us a heads up. If folks want to find out more about you or your campaign, have you got a website or social media they can go to?
Yeah, I'd love for people to go to the website. It's briantaylor.com, briantaylor.com. They can get on there and they can read about my background, my conservative record. I would love to have folks give me a call on that phone number. That rings straight to my cell phone. My email address is on there, so a lot of ways to get in touch with me. They can also look me up on Twitter and on Instagram at Brian Taylor AL. I need everybody to be paying attention to this race. It's so important, Phil, that we have a true conservative in the Chief Justice position. This is the highest elected position in our court system. The Chief Justice, as you know, oversees the entire judiciary in the state of Alabama, and we need to make sure that that person is conservative in their philosophy and is going to be fiscally responsible in managing our courts and setting budgets.
All right, man. Well, listen, I appreciate your time again. We'll stay in touch throughout the campaign season, but at the same time, I appreciate you enlightening us on this case that came out just last week from the recent Supreme Court.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
All right. Look
forward to being with you again.
All right, that was Brian Taylor. We're taking a break right now. I ran a bit long because I wanted to wrap that up. But Brian Taylor, spelled with a Y, Bryan Taylor, former state senator, former advisor to two governors. I can tell you from a personal standpoint, yes, he is one of the more conservative members of the bar, and he's now running for Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll wrap up Home Fries right after this. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, before I go to the phones, I got to tell you, there's one more story here in the queue. It's a very important one. I want to make sure y'all know, in terms of home fries, things that are happening to Alabama, that just Monday of this week, you know, we've talked a lot about redistricting. We've talked about the fact that Alabama had to redraw its lines and send them back to the three-judge panel because the U.S. Supreme Court decided that we needed to be more racial. More racial. Like, we need some racism in there. You gotta draw things according to race. I thought we shouldn't draw things according to race. No, you should. Okay, now we do. Anyway, it's now being alleged that we weren't racist enough. So, Stories here on 1819 News and the AP are both talking about the fact that the hearing just was held Monday. I happened to have a conversation with the Attorney General a couple of days ago, and he was pointing out how important this was going to be. And I question whether or not we're going to wind up being back at the Supreme Court of the United States. But here's the bottom line. First of all, House and Senate members threw each other under the – actually, the House member, State Representative Chris Pringle of Mobile, pretty much threw his Senate colleagues under the bus, said his bill was the better one and they should have used it, the redistricting plan. It was the better one, and he didn't like the Senate plan anyway. And I'm thinking, wow, aren't you just the team player? Nonetheless, they went before the court. The court was pretty hard on Alabama. Our Solicitor General argued that what the plaintiffs want is for us to racially gerrymander the state and mandate that they have two majority black districts when the law was actually handed down to us from the Supreme Court saying to increase their capabilities to impact the vote in their districts. Okay, and now what's being said about us in court is that we flaunted the ruling of the Supreme Court and blew them off, basically. I disagree. But nonetheless, what may very well wind up happening very soon is we find out that all of our congressional district lines have to get redrawn by a special master appointed by the court, at which point we're probably going to wind up appealing it and trying to get back in front of the Supreme Court of the United States. There you have it. That's a big one. More to come on that one. Let me go to the phones real quick. Is that Jeff Rowe? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good, Phil.
Good. What's on your plate?
Hey, I'll put you on the hot seat here a little bit.
All right. Bring it.
But talking about the tort reform and everything, and you're talking about the $10 million of being too much money for the life of the carpenter.
Yeah.
What if he wasn't just Joe Schmo and, making probably $100,000 a year, if that? What if he'd have been Elon Musk or whatever, and his family was taken away from billions of dollars? Then what would the award would have been in a case like that?
Yeah, and I don't know how they calculated the damages in this one. I mean, a lot of times they use actuarials who calculate out what the guy could have made in his lifetime, what the family could have experienced, what they've lost because of it. But I think what they looked at here was the court usually winds up having sort of a formula to go by, like compensatory damages times X amount. But in this case, they totally blew off all prior and just sort of created a new standard, which has caught everybody off guard.
And it said that the judge, reduced the award. So I wonder what the jury awarded initially if he reduced it to $10 million.
No. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. But the judge did award $10 million. You're right. Based upon the jury's findings, he awarded 10, and then the Supreme Court just affirmed it. And that, like I said, that doesn't match what everybody was accustomed to. It doesn't mean that they didn't deserve some punitive damages being assigned, but wow. $10 million sort of blew things out of the park.
Well, $10 million in retrospect is not that much money anymore. Time you figure that the lawyers are going to get what, $4 million of that at least? And, 35%, 33%, 34% or whatever, I'm sure.
I feel certain that was probably their cut, man. But I feel certain that $10 million is still a lot of money in most people's lives. But, hey, the music's playing.
It don't go as far as you used to think. Oh, well, have a good one, Phil.
See you, bud. Take care. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming right back. We're going to Afghanistan 2 years later. Y'all stay tuned.